Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Alive Church, Orange County. To find out more information about Alive Church, please visit alivechurchoc.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in Alive Church OC.
Turn to your neighbor next to you and say, "I'm so glad you're sitting next to me." And mean it, please, when you say that. Well, this morning, the usher came to me and said, "Pastor Susan, do you have any props today?" You know, because of the past few messages, I wanted to demonstrate certain things, so I have props. I said, "No, this morning, I don't have props. This morning, I'm going to teach a certain revelation that I hope will transform the way you respond to God." Can you say amen? And because it's a teaching, I want you to understand that I'm not just teaching your mind, but I'm really bringing a revelation in your spirit. Because change only can come through revelation.
Yes.
It's not information.
Yeah.
So I want all of us to pray. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to bring that revelation into our hearts. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Shigiri andara bahari andara bahaya. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, this morning, oh God, Lord, let us hear from you. Holy Spirit, come and teach us the ways of the kingdom. I pray right now, oh God, I come against every spirit of stupor in the name of Jesus. I come against every religious spirit right now. Lord, we slay at the feet of Jesus. We come against, oh God, every physical tire, every spiritual lethargy right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now as we say amen, I want to pray that, Lord, you transport us from the realm of the natural into the realm of the spirit, that we may take our position in the heavenly places. So, Lord, at the count of three, we're going to say amen. One, two, three. Amen. 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 Understand that we are now in a different regime. Am I right?
Amen.
Something changed. A few weeks ago, we entered into a different government. And many people are excited. Yes, we are excited because we know that with the right government, policies can be changed so that it would advocate the right thing, so that it will protect marriages, protect families, protect children. Can you say amen? But understand this, the king is not enough. The king and the priest must come together in order to bring reformation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So understand, we have a president. He is the king in the natural realm. But we must elevate the king in the spiritual realm. Can you say amen? Amen. So we need the king to rise up. We need the priesthood to rise up. So this is not the time. And many people say, "Oh, now we have, you know, everything is going to be A-okay. You know, we're going to have order. You know, I can sit back and relax." No, this is a time for the church to arise. Amen. This is the time for the church to wake up. We have a certain window to do what is right. We have a certain window to right what is wrong. We have a certain window to establish the kingdom of God in the realm of the spirit, so that in the natural we can change.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And it's important this morning that you help me preach. You help me teach. Because when you say amen, you are receiving. And when you say amen, you receive and you pull it out from the realm of the spirit into the realm of the natural. Amen?
Amen.
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 All right. Okay, awesome. So understand that righteousness cannot be legislated. We may have a president who says he embraces God, but he cannot say everyone must bow before Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Because righteousness cannot be legislated.
Yeah.
The moment you legislate righteousness, rebellion will arise from the ground. And that was what happened in AD 300. There was an emperor. Out of his good intention, he said, "Okay, we're going to legislate Christianity. And then everyone must embrace Jesus Christ." You know what happened? On the ground, rebellion came. and people began to rebel, not only against the king, the emperor, but against the Lord. Because you understand, when you legislate righteousness, it is a form of control. Hello? And that is why the world is so resistant towards the church. Because the church is trying to control the people and make them have a form of godliness. Do the right thing, say the right thing, but yet inside there's no transformation. Righteousness is an inside job. Can I say amen?
Amen.
Yes, if you know, you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Righteousness is an inside job. Holiness is an inside job. Amen. There is no way to legislate. The moment you try to control people, you open up the portal of torment. You open up demonic forces that comes in to stir up rebellion. Try to control your children beyond the natural level, right? You understand. If you have teenager, you understand. You understand that control is never of God. So we understand that at this time, the church must respond to this window God has given to us. So I pray that this message will ignite certain revelation for you to respond differently and come together to build the kingdom. The problem with the church is this. For decades, the churches in America have preached a gospel that is different from the Bible. They have preached the gospel of salvation. But there is no gospel of salvation in the Bible. The gospel always talk about the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
But the churches have preached about salvation, and all people want when they walk through the door is to receive forgiveness of their sins and then acceptance from God.
Yeah.
So we raise up a whole generation of people who doesn't know the king, who doesn't behave as a citizen of the kingdom, who comes to church and is all about me. How I feel when I sit there. You know, I don't like this Pastor Susan. She talks too loud. She rolls her eyes too much. It's all about me. So we raise up a generation of believers that really are not citizens of the kingdom. Then we preach about, then we talk that Jesus is not just a savior, and then the Lord, right? And we need to preach that Jesus is Lord. When we talk about the Lordship, that means it implies that there is certain responsibility on your part to obey the Lord, to obey the word. True? But that is still not enough. The gospel is not just about Jesus as Savior and Lord. We fail to teach the people of God that Jesus is King. Because without the King, there cannot be no kingdom. And so it is important for us to know salvation provides us forgiveness and salvation from hell, right? Lordship provides us a roadmap for transformation. Right? To be sanctified and holy and pure. But kingship provides us the access to everything the kingdom has for us, which is what? Protection, provision, and power. Protection, provision, and power. So, John 10, when Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the door. He is not saying, I am the door to salvation. He is saying, I am the door to the kingdom. So salvation is your access to the kingdom. But we have many believers who are saved but not Christian, neither are they citizens of the kingdom. That's why the world cannot see the difference. In fact, the world is confused because a Christian and a non-Christian behave the same way. John 3, verse 3, when the Pharisees came in the middle of the night and knocked at the door and say, Jesus, how can one be saved? Jesus says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Isn't it amazing? Jesus didn't say, just accept me, you know, believe in Jesus, you'll be saved, you'll be happy. He said, you need to be born again. Why? Because only when you're born again, you can see the kingdom of God. So my question is this. I see that many people who already accepted Jesus, but they cannot see the kingdom.
Wow, that's good.
So in December 20th, we're going to have 600 people from this community, this city, coming to this church. And they are people who have not known God or maybe walked with God. Let me tell you this. If we who are in this church cannot see the kingdom, then there's no chance for them to see the kingdom. Yeah. And all they've come to see is to watch this Christmas production. All they've come to see is to accept Jesus so that I'll be right. I can have a ticket to heaven. And they will never, ever be a citizen of the kingdom.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Say it together with me.
It is my duty
to manifest the kingdom.
And
that is the attraction.
Yeah.
Because we have a king. And this king is great. And this king is love. And in his hands are provision and the hope and the future for our lives. Can you say amen? So who has come to manifest the kingdom? You see, when Jesus died, he became the king. But who has come to help us understand how to live like a citizen in the kingdom? And that person is the Holy Spirit. Everyone say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he has come to help you see how to be and change you from the inside out, how to be a citizen of the kingdom. You know, Jesus in the New Testament talk about two commandments, right? What is the first commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. All right? Love your neighbor as yourself. But what is the third command? When Jesus died and was resurrected, then he came to his disciples before he got lifted up to heaven. He told his disciples the third command. The third command was what? That you are to wait here, to tarry until you receive power from on high. So the third command was for them to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And don't leave until you have received power from on high. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So you understand, when we preach the gospel of salvation and we don't tell them it's the gospel of the kingdom, then all these things are optional. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is optional. Healing is optional. Deliverance is optional. Provision is optional. Power is optional. But to be a citizen of the kingdom, you must have everything the king wants you to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why is the baptism of the Holy Spirit so important? It is so important because he is the one that can only change you from the inside out.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Without changing you from the inside out, you really cannot obey the two commandments. And that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. You really cannot obey the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. This morning, your neighbor is the one you marry, maybe, or your brothers and sisters. You know them. You can love them. But when God says, love your enemies, can you love your enemy?
Amen.
Don't say yes too quickly. Because I have seen how believers in the same church, serving alongside together, and still are not able to embrace each other. Not able to forgive, not able to move on, not able to continue to love one another. You understand that the Holy Spirit is here to transform you so that you can be holy and then be a host for the Spirit of God to carry heaven's power. So understand, the Holy Spirit is here to help us manifest the kingdom of God. One more time. Say, it is my duty, to manifest the kingdom of God. But the problem in today's world is the Holy Spirit is just a mascot, is a sign that people put on the church. But yet, the Holy Spirit must be a master over our lives. Charles Spurgeon says, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as sheep without the sail, without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire. We are useless. Not so true, isn't it? Because we can do many things without the Holy Spirit, but we cannot do anything that is of kingdom value without Him. Can you say amen?
Amen?
All right. It's a very sobering message today because it is time for us to be serious. It is time for us to be serious with our lives, with the Christ that is in us, and our responsibility to this world out there. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. Can you read this while I take a sip of water? Ready? One, two, three. This letter is written to the church. It's written to the church. So you can understand why the world is confused. Because the world knows we have a Savior. And we claim that the Savior is alive. We claim that we are thankful to our Savior. We claim that we have the power to change the world. Yet we don't have power to change ourselves. We are still lovers of ourselves, lovers of money, instead of lovers of God. We have a form of godliness. We wear a chain with a cross on it. We have a bumper sticker in the back of our car. We hold the Bible. We speak Christianese. But there's no true power. Because the true power is to change you. Because you carry the light of God. Because you represent Christ to the world. Amen.
Amen.
See, the Holy Spirit, that is His assignment. His assignment is to lift you up, to change you from the inside and lift you up. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 12. There's this constant example of how Ezekiel was lifted up in mid-air. And when he was lifted up, he could see the glory. He could see the kingdom. He could visualize the power of God. He could see the power of God. That is what the Spirit has come to do. The Spirit comes down so that we can spiral up. One more time. The Spirit comes down so that we can spiral up.
Yeah.
Everyone say this with me. Say, it's time to spiral up.
It's time to spiral up.
Say, it's time to spiral up. You understand, in the last days, during the time of rapture, when it's time, when D-Day comes, do you know God is not going to meet us here? God is going to meet us in the mid-air. We will be lifted up into the mid-air to meet with the Lord. Very symbolical. So understand your role as a believer is to spiral up.
Yeah.
And when we spiral up corporately, that's how the world can see. The city set on a hill. That's how the world can see. Oh, the eagle soar with wings like eagle. So that the world can see, oh, it is God has lifted up. The kingdom of God manifests. So understand this, that God wants to elevate you. God wants to elevate the church. God wants to elevate the kingdom so that we know we can see the kingdom and the world can see the kingdom of God. Are you ready to spiral up?
Yes.
Time to spiral up. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Time to be serious with your walk with God.
Yes.
Time to let bygones be bygones.
Yes.
Time to put away the past.
Yes.
Move forward into the future because God is ready for all of us.
Yes.
And how do we spiral up? Today, I have certain graphics I'm going to show you, right?
Okay.
Diagram as I expound the Word of God. Revelation 5. In Revelation 5, verse 6, talks about the Holy Spirit. And Revelation says, the Holy Spirit is sevenfold. Everyone say sevenfold. And the Holy Spirit has been sent on duty far and wide. So the Holy Spirit has a duty in your life. And He will not stop. You understand, the Holy Spirit is very, very faithful. And He is always on point. And He has a duty in your life. Say, the Holy Spirit has a duty on my life. And what is that duty? That duty is to transform you on the inside out, to take you out of this world and plant you into the kingdom of God so that you understand how to behave as a citizen of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sevenfold. Everyone say sevenfold. And this sevenfold of the Holy Spirit is expounded in Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 2. And I want you to read this passage together with me. Ready? One, two, three. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what this passage is all about, okay? Firstly, sevenfold. So when you come into the kingdom, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the very first thing that the Holy Spirit comes upon you is His first duty is to bring out the nature of God. Bring out the nature of God in your life. Then your question, I can hear your question. You say, what is the nature of God? Right, let's look at 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 11. I know it's a long passage, but this is very important for us to understand very clearly what is the nature of God so that we can conform to it. In verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord as His divine power. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. One more time, the Holy Spirit has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness. So the Holy Spirit is your key to life in God, to godliness, to power and everything. So that is what His role is in your life. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature. So the Holy Spirit's first duty is to come in into your life so that you can be transformed to carry the nature of God. That is His first duty, right? Let's continue, verse 5. But also for this very reason. And so for this very reason, you need to be diligent. Don't you anybody say you need to be diligent? Diligent to do what? Diligent to add to your faith virtue. You know, we've been in America for 12 years. And it always puzzled me because America is a Christian nation with strong Christian foundation and roots. But when we came to America, lo and behold, I was shocked to realize so many safe, but very few Christians. So many Christians, but very few citizens of the kingdom. So many sitting in the pew for decades, but still babies. You understand from this, if I can have the diagram. The power, the people doing the slide tells me I need to be patient when I say I want the diagram. It takes them a few seconds for the diagram to come up, you know. So I said, okay, I need to practice that, all right? Okay, Look at this. I constructed this diagram for you to see why there are many immature Christians in the church. Why are there so many immature Christians never grow up in the Lord? Because they never add to their faith virtue. It is your intention. It is your responsibility. What is virtue? Virtue is honesty, integrity, purity. It's your integrity. What is your integrity at work? Do you always go to work late? Do you take things from your work you should not? God holds you accountable to all these things. What about your relationship with your husband and wife? Is it respectful? Do you treat each other with kindness and honesty? You see, when you align your life and say, I'm going to be an honest person, I'm going to have integrity because my God is honest and integrous. What happens is then you spiral upwards. Then you come to a place of knowledge, which means you will know God, because God will never show himself to someone who is dishonest. Agree? God is not drawn to people who are dishonest. God is not drawn to people who are adulterous. God is not drawn to people who have no purity in their life. He's drawn to people who wants to walk right. So when he reveals to you, then you now know. You have knowledge of God. You have knowledge, like Ephesians 1 said, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened to the glory and the riches of Christ on the inside of you. And because you know heaven. You know God. You see the beauty and the glory of God. You will have self-control. You will not be easily offended. You will not hold on to unforgiveness. You will not think bad thoughts about people. You do not want to grumble and complain and murmur and gossip. Why? Because every time you do all that, you are holding on to what you want. And in that, there was an exchange. Yeah, yeah. You gave away God and you hold on to yourself.
Yeah.
Self-control is an inside job. And when we don't let the inside job do the inside job,
then
the outside control comes in.
Yeah.
And then you rebel.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Self-control.
Yeah.
So that the world can see, hey, these people are different.
Yeah.
What's the difference between us and the world when we an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth,
yeah,
grumble and complain and always offended? You are always offended because you're so full of yourself.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit comes to get rid of you from you.
Right.
To get rid of you from you so that you can get hold of God and spiral upwards with self-control. Now you are in agreement with God. You can persevere. The reason why you cannot persevere because you are still double-minded. Because there's no agreement, there's no alignment. But once you have self-control, you align with God, you can persevere. And when you persevere, you attain godliness. What is godliness? Godliness means you do everything just to please God. How free is that? Amen. When you do things to please people, you know you will never ever be enough. But when you do things to please God, you are free from this world. And eventually, brotherly kindness and love. Love is very casually used in today's society, right? We're very flippant about the word love. But God, when God says love, is not the world's standard of love. If we cannot be kind to our brother, you cannot be kind to your wife. You cannot be kind to your husband. You cannot be kind to the grocery store worker. You cannot be kind. Then that is not love. Because love is even greater than kindness. Amen. So you understand why there are many baby Christians in the world. Because they never, once they add on faith, when they came into faith, they never add on virtue. They never decide that I will have integrity.
Yeah.
I will be honest with myself. I will be honest with what is really bugging me. They never add on virtue, then knowledge, then self-control, so on and so forth. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This in itself is a spiral upwards. Everyone say, I will spiral upward. Say, I will spiral up with the Holy Spirit. So how many of you want to grow up in the Lord? Yes. Look at this chart. Take a picture of this chart. Remind yourself. Because from when you walk out of this room, you will be tested in that area of integrity. You will be tested. And when you are tested, do you found wanting or you found you passed the test? The Bible says all things work together for the good. Do you know that not only the good people who are nice to you are sent by God, those people who are a thorn in your flesh, those people who rub you the wrong way, those people that makes you uncomfortable, those are also God sent. Everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, because you understand, if people are so nice, they think like you, they behave like you, they like everything you like, they are not going to test you. But when you meet people who are unlike you, who don't speak like you, who doesn't like the things you like, that is where you have to practice self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So after this service, go and thank the person who is a thorn in your flesh. No. Don't do that. But you understand why you meet people you don't like. Why people rub you. Because there's something in you. God is trying to put your attention on that area. But you, when you fail the test, when you say, no, I'm going to pretend I like her, but I really don't care about her. You fail the test. When you become disrespectful because that person is in your presence, you fail the test. But when you say, Lord, I don't really quite like her, but I'm going to do what is right with you. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to show kindness. I'm going to be respectful. Yeah. Guess what? You pass the test. Yeah. And then you spiral upward. One more time. How many of you want to spiral up?
Yeah.
Yes. So don't look at all this person that rubs you the wrong way as a challenge. As a problem, but really as a challenge, as a test for you to go to the other side.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Understand what I'm saying here? Yes, not that I have arrived, okay? But I'm still climbing up. Yeah? I'm still climbing up. So understand, everything God does with the intention to bring transformation on the inside. So now, after the nature of God, there's another spiral, which is number two, the spirit of wisdom. So there will be another spiral, and you will see when everything match, what this thing is all about. The spirit of wisdom. Right? The ability to use the right decision at the right time to achieve God's result. That is the spirit of wisdom. How many of you want wisdom in your life?
Yeah.
And the spirit of wisdom is also the spirit of creativity. That God wants to bring you to a place where you can create things, solutions, ideas, strategy above transcending traditional ideas. The church is supposed to have the spirit of God, where we are able to lead society. So that is what God intends. So God wants to give you that wisdom so that you are not confined and restricted. All right? We have young people here. You are in school. God can give you the spirit of wisdom to excel in your study, to understand things you've never understood before. Look at Exodus 31, the children of Israel. They were all slaves. 400 years they were slaves. When God brought them out of Egypt, guess what? He needed to build the tabernacle. When he wanted to build the tabernacle, look at what he said to Moses. He said, I have picked, called by name, Bezalel. And he said, I have given to him the spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, bronzes, cutting jewels for setting, carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. Everyone say, wow. A slave, for all his life, he only learned how to make bricks. And then suddenly, when the need arises, God put the wisdom upon him to do extraordinary work. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me assure you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God has need of you now. God has need of you now. We need to make visible the kingdom of God by living our life for the King. Amen. God has need of you now, and he will put within you the spirit of wisdom to excel not only in church, but out there. So that you will be excellent worker for the glory of God. So that through your excellence, he can promote you. So that through your good works, he can raise you up so that you can have influence and authority. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's what God's intent is. Number two, that's the spirit of wisdom. So the spirit of the nature of God, number two, spirit of wisdom. Number three, the spirit of understanding. And this anointing gives one the power to see the heart of the matter and ability to interpret the plan of God. You need to have the spirit of understanding. Why? Because you need to understand what is God's intent. Many a times we don't understand what is God's intent. There are five areas that you need to develop discernment in. Five areas. Number one, personal development and deliverance. You need to have discernment what is stopping you from growing. Why you feel stuck? Why are you struggling? You need to have that discernment. And the Holy Spirit will give you the discernment. And the Holy Spirit will also deliver you out of that place where you feel stuck. Number two, you need to discern the Spirit of God. What is God wanting to do? Many a times we think, good things happen, God. Bad things happen, devil. But do you know that sometimes God allows the bad things, so that through the bad things, he can achieve his goal. Amen? Yeah. Many a times you see that in the Bible. So you need to understand. And because we cannot discern, when it is bad thing, we bind the devil, bind the devil, bind the devil. But actually, it is God wanting to get your attention. Yeah. It is God wanting to put that person in a pit so that that person can fully focus on where is God. Right. Amen? Yeah. So instead of praying against God, you need to pray along with God. Yeah. There was once in my life I prayed for a young man, and I know that God put him in a prison for a reason. Yeah. And my prayer is not, God, get him out of prison, get him out of prison. Do you know I pray that God don't let him out of the prison until he has fully encountered you, which he did. Yeah. And he gave his life to the Lord, and today is still walking with the Lord. Yeah. Amen. So number three, the spirit of understanding. Number four, the spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel gives us strategy and ability to devise the right course of action to bring about kingdom objective. The spirit of counsel. Why is it important for the kingdom people to know how to appropriate this spirit of counsel? Because we are facing a world out there who has been plagued with chaos for so long, who has been told things that are not true, who has been given an impression who God is, who Jesus is, who the church is. Yeah. So in this season, we need to represent Christ to the nations. We need to represent the church to the nations. We need to represent the kingdom of God to the people out there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That is why it is important for us to be filled with the spirit of counsel. There is a woman in the Bible by the name of Abigail. Abigail is Nabal's wife. Now, Nabal is not such a smart man, right? No pun intended, okay? Yeah. Sometimes we are foolish women too, yes? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, so Nabal was not such a smart man. So he had land and sheep and stuff, and King David protected his assets, right, while he was king. And so in time of need, King David came to Nabal and said, would you provide us food? Because we came from the battlefield, we're very hungry and tired. Would you provide us some food? Right? You would think that Nabal said, oh, wow, great opportunity to pay back, right, to the king who has protected him for so many years. In fact, Nabal said, no. Nabal said, no, I'm not going to do this, you know, and he rejected the king's request. And King David was so disrespected, anger came out of him. Know that that is why most people are angry when they feel disrespected. So in his anger, he made a promise that he's going to slaughter Nabal's household. And when Abigail heard it, she quickly gathered the best of raisins and bread, figs and everything, loaded up the horses and ride the horses quickly to King David. And in that conversation, this wise woman that has that spirit of counsel on the inside of him began to stir up King David's honor as a man of God. And at the end, King David changed his mind and even thanked Abigail and said, thank you so much for reminding me of my honor and my dignity that I may not displease the Lord. Wow. Powerful, isn't it? How many of us is able to use that to put water over fire? Rather than use our words to stir up fire and cause discord and cause unforgiveness, cause bitterness and cause pain. Amen? Amen. We need that spirit of counsel. Everyone say the spirit of counsel. Number five, the spirit of might. The spirit of might. All right, if I can have the lower third on that diagram would help me a lot. The spirit of might refers to power, military strength, force to carry out the strategy of the Lord, to carry out God's plan. How many of you, God has spoken to you something that he wants to do in your life? Yes, let me see a show of hands. You have a calling, a purpose, you have something you want to do for the Lord. Do you have the tenacity to plow through, to overcome, and to accomplish all that God has spoken to you? Noah took 120 years to build a boat. 120 years. What tenacity, what spirit of might is in this man that he will build 120 years so that he can save whoever willing to enter the ark? Amen? What about Anna? Anna. Let me share with you this lady called Anna. How many of you have heard of Anna? Prophetess Anna. She was a young lady, married for 7 years. Husband died. 7 years. Still a young girl. Because in the ancient culture in Israel, you get married about 15. 7 years, she's 22. Still prime, right? But she decided she's going to keep herself for the Lord. The Bible says she stayed at the temple for 84 years, fasting, serving God through fasting and praying, waiting for the Messiah to show up. And Jesus came to the synagogue in a form of a baby that day. And prophetess Anna began to proclaim, this is the Savior of the world. How many of us have the tenacity, 84 years, to keep ourselves because we have a vision of God in our lives? What spirit of might? Number six, the spirit of knowledge. The spirit of knowledge. This is the unveiling of the attributes of God by God Himself. Encounters that change your perspective. I want to share with you a story of Enoch. Can I have the slide about the diagram? I want to share with you the story of Enoch. Enoch in the Bible, nothing much was written about Enoch. The Bible says, but at 65 years old, all right? Bible didn't tell you that Enoch was full of faith, did great things for the Lord, nothing. He was just a common man. But by age 65, something happened to Enoch. His wife gave birth to a boy, and he called this boy Methuselah. Methuselah. Methuselah means the end is here. The end is here. So we can then deduce. And then Enoch, after that encounter, Enoch walked with God. He's one of those who didn't die and God called him home. Amen? Only two in the Bible. Who is the other one? Bible quiz right now. Elijah. Enoch and Elijah. But Enoch, something happened to him at age 65. And when his son was born, he had an encounter with God. And he named his son, the end is here. And then he continued to walk with God so closely. God says, you are closer to my home than your home. Come home with me. And he was no more, the Bible says. Wow, what a man. But after that, the Bible never writes anything much about Enoch. But do you know Methuselah, which is Enoch's son, is the grandfather of Noah? So you see, how did Noah persevere to build the ark for 120 years? Because every day he walked past his grandfather, Methuselah, he is reminded the end is here. The end is here. The end is coming. The end is coming. The end is coming. Do you know? Do you know the end is coming? Do you truly believe that Christ is coming back? Do you believe that when he comes back, he's going to ask you, what did you do with the life he gave you? What did you do with the grace that he has shown you? What did you do with his sacrifice? What did you do to appropriate the kingdom? What did you do to showcase to the world that he is the king? What did you do with the gifts and the talents he gave to you so that you can receive more and be a blessing? Yeah. Do you know? You see, sometimes we live on this earth for so long. And everyone tells us, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. But Jesus is not here yet. We kind of lose track. I pray that today you will be awakened. That the timeline is close, my friends. That many in this room may see the return of the Lord. Many, not all, but many will see the return of the Lord. So it is important for us to minor the minor, major the major. Time to forge forward, look upwards, and build so that when Christ comes back, he comes back to a kingdom. Amen? And not a group of people who just call him Lord, Lord, but he doesn't know who they are. Amen? Understand, the time is here. The end is coming. Whether you are ready or not, the end is coming. And because Noah saw his grandfather every day, he keeps being reminded, the end is coming, the end is coming. I cannot stop, I cannot stop. Keep building the ark, keep building the ark, keep building the ark. Do you know the day when Methuselah died, when his grandfather died, that day, rain came down. Wow. And it rained for 40 days and covered the earth with water. Who is the sign to the world that the end is coming? Will it not be us, the people of the kingdom? Can I hear amen? Amen. That is why your pastor encouraged us to go tell the world. Yeah. But you know why we don't tell the world? Because we don't believe the end is coming. We don't believe that it is coming. We think it's so far away that it's time to just enjoy and cruise through our lives. Because if you know, if I know I only have 5 years to live, what would I do with that 5 years? If I know I have 10 years to save this world, what would I do with my 10 years? See, sometimes we have to have a wake-up call. That we see this world through the eyes of eternity and not see eternity through the eyes of this world. Yes. Because when we do that, eternity is so far. Yeah. But when we see this world through the eyes of eternity, then we know what do we need to do today. Yeah. And that's to invite the Holy Spirit to change us on the inside so that we can, what? Spiral up, right? So from the Spirit of the Lord, which is the nature of God, which was the previous graph diagram. Now, on top of that, God will give us wisdom and understanding, counsel and might and knowledge of God. And finally, the knowledge of God, because you know God, the knowledge of God paved the way for the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will awaken hearts of the conscious awareness. The problem with us is that we are not aware that God is in this room. Yeah. But God is in this room. Yeah. If you open up your eyes to see God is in this room. Yeah. That God is in your living room. Right. That God is there when you quarrel with your wife. Yeah. That God was there when you had an argument with your parents. God was there when you did not do what you're supposed to do. Or God was there when you did what was right before His sight. You see, when you understand God sees and God is here, then that motivates your heart to live right before God, whether people see you or not. The problem is this. The church tries to play God in people's lives. We try to tell people what you can do, what you should not do. No, we advise people what they should not do and teach them what they should do. But whether you do it or not is up to you. Unless you have the desire to spiral up, you will never do what is right. Right? Because why? When you spiral up and you have the fear of the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it's another spiral. Do you see what I'm saying? It is from here, your faith, you add to the nature of God, add to virtue, then you spiral up. And when you come to a certain place, God began to download wisdom. God began to download understanding, might, so on and so forth. And when you come to the fear of the Lord, it attracts a greater understanding, wisdom. So that is how God lifts us up. When the Bible says a city set on a hill, doesn't mean the next building we're looking for must be set on a hill. It means you must come up to the Mount of God. You must spiral up that the world see you. You carry the excellence of Daniel. You carry the wisdom of Joseph. You have the favor like Queen Esther. You have a mother's heart like Deborah. You understand what I'm saying? And God is, let me prophetically tell you, God is right now looking to and fro the earth to see who has responded, and He's going to lift you up. Yeah. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Am I making sense to anyone? Yes. Are you learning something today? So we have something good on the inside of us. So good, but often overlooked. Because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, somehow in history past, churches have focused on the Holy Spirit purely on the outward manifestation of what? Signs and wonders, miracles, praying in tongues, prophesying. But they have overlooked to teach the people to yield to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can change them on the inside. And then they begin to exhibit the nature of God on the outside. And then the Spirit of God began to elevate all these men and women of great character so that they will be men and women of influence, impact, and power in the marketplace. Amen. We owe the world an apology. The church owes the world an apology because we have failed to present Christ in the right way. We have failed because we just want our churches to grow. So we just tell people, just come to Christ. You will be forgiven, forever loved, no matter No matter what you do, we'll fill the world. We'll fill the world because we try to download to them a set of rules and regulations. Just like in the old days of the Pharisees, we lock them up with a chain over them and we say, we love you only if you obey. We have failed the world. We failed the world because we have not taught the world that we have a king who is all-powerful. A king who is able to fill you with the Spirit of God. That you, through the Spirit, is able to answer to the world and have all wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, and knowledge to impact this world and bring goodness of God into our world. And because of that, we have a lot of believers saved but not sanctified, and have been lost to the world out there. The world of business, the world of entertainment, the world of education, they were lost because we have not taught them that everything belongs to the King. We owe the world an apology because the church is the answer to the world. It is not the president's job. It is not anyone's job except the world, except the church. We owe the world an apology. And today, on behalf of the church, we will apologize and we will make amends. From this day forward, the church will rise up in power, and I declare and prophetically decree over you that the church of the living God is arising. And the Holy Spirit will have full access into her lives. And because God is within her, she will not fail. The transformation, righteousness, and holiness is arising from within. And she will raise up a standard. She will see the kingdom. She will manifest the kingdom. That the world will see the kingdom. And they will run to the house and run to the kingdom, because there is a king who sits on the throne. And his name is Jesus Christ. Yes, the time is here. It is time for us to arise. Will you stand on your feet today? I pray that this message will shift your mind and shift your heart. Because religion is not fun. You came because you desire a relationship with God.
Yes.
Struggling to manage the world and the kingdom is not fun. You have to choose. Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God, or are you a citizen of the world? There's no dual citizenship, I'm afraid. You cannot be a citizen of the kingdom and have a passport to this world. It doesn't work that way. Today is a day of citizenship. A day where we stand tall and stand proud. A day where we say we will not spare any effort to let the kingdom of God arise on the inside of us, and the kingdom of God to manifest through all of us. Understand that the reason why the kingdom of God is not manifesting, because we're not transforming. And people are offended all the time in church. If you love God and you know the gift that God has given to you, and you're thankful because you didn't do anything to deserve this gift, then why are we finding so hard to forgive? Why are we finding it so hard to move forward? May I tell you, it's because we are so full of ourselves. But the Holy Spirit can come, and in the flick of His finger, remove the sting from your life. You see, the thing is, you have the power to remove this sting. You have the power to do it right. The power is within you. And we're going to pray. But before I do that, all right, let's pray. I'm going to pray. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now in the presence of God. You can feel the presence. In the presence of God to forgive. Yes, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who are the people who have stunted your growth.
So good.
Because you have allowed offense to come, you held on to their offense and you judged them, you have not passed the test. And because of that, you have lost years staying where you are at. You have allowed them to stun your growth. And today I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to tell you who that person is. You may have forgiven. If that person's image come back to you, you have not fully gotten rid of it. You have not released judgment. And I pray that the fear of the Lord will cause you to say, yes, Lord. So that is between you and God. I'm now going to tell you to come up. And after that, I'm going to give an altar call for those who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a suggestion. It is a command by God. I was not born tongue-speaking Christian. I was not born even as a believer. My family is Buddhist. When I came to the Lord, I was a Baptist. I didn't know the Holy Spirit. But when I received the Holy Spirit, my world changed. The Holy Spirit began to help me spiral up in my walk with God. Spiral and receiving everything from the Holy Spirit, I'm able to thrive in the marketplace. Able to thrive, everything that I placed my hands on, God was able to give me wisdom to do what is needed. So we're going to give an altar call for those of you who have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not scary. When I first accepted the Holy Spirit, all I did was open up my heart and say, God, the Holy Spirit is a gift. And I know you never give me anything that I don't need, I don't want, and not perfect. I receive you, Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit is not going to force you, because it's not like the devil. He's not going to force you. So you just have to open up your mouth and pray. I'm not going to call you out either. So wherever you are, you're going to put up your hands and people around you will just lay their hands and stand together with you. And I pray that Holy Spirit will begin that new work of renewal in your life. Last but not least, finally, we're going to stir up the Spirit of God on the inside of us to level up, right? Understand, the Bible tells us out of our belly flows the rivers of living water. So the Holy Spirit is a symbol of water. Now, if you've done housework before, of course you all have done housework before. Have you ever boiled water before? Yeah. When you boil the water long enough, what does the water become? Steam. Steam. You cannot see the water, but it's out there in the atmosphere, am I right? The Holy Spirit is that. When you stir up the water on the inside of you, and you boil the water on the inside of you as you pray in tongues, the intensity of your prayer breaks the dam. And then the Holy Spirit begins to flow out of you. That is what it means when Jesus says, out of you flows the rivers of living water. But if you are not stirring up, if you're not praying, if you're not putting in the heat, how can the water, how can the Holy Spirit flow? And let me assure you, if the Holy Spirit is flowing out of you, that where you go, the fear of the Lord goes before you. Wisdom goes before you. Understanding goes before you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Are you ready?
Yes.
Just worship the Lord. Come.